Have you ever left a boat and only realized how bad it was once you were gone? That's exactly where we're starting today. My guest is Keegan Blankensee, bosun, 10 plus years in super yachting, four of those on 100 meter plus vessels. Keegan experienced firsthand what poor leadership does to crew confidence over time. And he's here to talk about it. We cover how psychological damage from bad leadership shows up on deck, how to approach conflict with management without torching the relationship, and what good leadership actually looks like in practice. I think you're going to love this one. Here we go.
Welcome to Yachting International Radio, Keegan. It's a pleasure to have you today. And I can't wait to dive in this topic. You are one of the first to talk about the impact of toxic leadership. But before we go any further, would you like to introduce yourself?
So my name is Keegan. I've been in the industry for now over 10 years, I think it's pushing 11 years now. And yeah, it's all gone by so quickly. I still think of that person that joined the industry. It's almost in my mind, it seems like 4 years or 3 years ago. I still feel like that young form of myself. But yeah, it's been a good journey. And yeah, the last 4 years been active in the bosun role on 100 meter plus boats. Yeah.
Fantastic, Ian. So if I'm correct in understanding, you came from elite sport before yachting. I'm curious to know, what did you learn about, more specifically, high-performing teams that you may have not been aware of until you worked in the industry?
Yeah, there was so much that correlated with each other. It was I performed at a high level, competed at an international level, competing against other nations and representing my country.
Wow.
So it was obviously a lot of money invested, which obviously, again, year-round equipment that's worth thousands and thousands, if not millions sometimes. And obviously that shares a super, you know, common ground with yachting when you're dealing with tenders and things like this, all the cranes and operations that go into it. And yeah, working with the teams, it has lots of similarity with each other. There's, you know, it's obviously high pressure situations, deadlines that need to be met. You know, you have to be active all the time, proactively, you know, looking for that to be a step ahead of the situation. And yeah, it's all about high performance, I would say. Yeah. And high pressure situation. So there was a lot that I was able to carry over that I've carried over a clear thinking, calm approach to high pressure situations from that.
Okay, so would you say you have built resilience? And in terms of team cohesion and collaboration, because as a team, you really need that in order to win, what elements have you been able to extract from your time in sport and apply within your own team specifically?
To apply it into my team, I would say it's just like it's constant communication. Making sure that there is like everything's very clear, who's placed in what position and who's placed with whose strength in what moments also is what you consider. Yeah, it's all about having a team and extracting the absolute maximum performance in the moment and also considering future. You know, there's also an element of like, okay, cool, this could be high performance in this moment, but in future, someone needs to be exposed to certain things that they can cover someone else in certain situations.
Yeah.
So you've got to make sure that the team is constantly adapting, learning, and able to support each other in future too. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, so you had a team of nine on a new build and you took them through two brutal seasons and I believe you hit almost all of them. How were you able to achieve that?
So yeah, it was extremely difficult. I joined the program very excited that you're part of a new system and program. Everyone joining is also like there's this element of excitement because it's all new. And I think when you look at that and you think, okay, this is the excitement I'm getting from it. I'm getting the certain feeling from the rest of the team that this is the excitement that we all share. So it's just an element that you need to then embrace. Keep that excitement. Keep that excitement going. Don't stand on it and suppress it, you know, which I think in yachting, people can get very set in their ways and say, this is the way and only way. Mm-hmm. So within the team, I try to keep momentum of this constant learning and adapting because everyone came from different backgrounds with different experiences. So you got to be open and let people say, oh, I had an experience when we used the, I don't know, lines in this way, and this is how I used to do it before. Listen to them. Obviously, factor in safety and all these things, and if it would work for that vessel or not. So it's about listening and like having it so that the people in your team feel like they're adding value, that they are bringing some form of experience to their team and making them feel like they're adding value to the program. And when someone feels like that, it's really empowering. And we went through, as you said, brutal. It was just constant. It was pretty much live on board boss. And yeah, a lot of people struggled. But the fact that people stayed around, I think it was just because they felt like they were part of something that was, you know, moving in the right direction. So it's like, yes, it's hard now, but you know, the fact that we're learning together, that we're working, we're collaborating really well together, we are communicating well together, people felt that they were part of something that was probably better than what they've had before, and that there would be that reward somewhere along the line. So,
and yeah. What you are referring to there are drivers of motivation. So when you said the word or the feeling excitement, that's also connected to doing something that is purposeful. And as a leader, I think it's so pivotal that we need to understand the different drivers of motivation for different individuals, because it's not all the same. And I don't think that crew dinners or drinks are enough to motivate a team member. Like, for example, would you choose an incredible servant type leader versus a toxic leader, but they take you out for crew drinks? Like, which option are you going to go with?
Yeah, exactly. Definitely go for the first one.
Yeah. So I am curious to know, on deck and obviously interior, you've got those different tiers because it's a hierarchical structure. But because you work on deck, what builds a bridge between the captain, the chief officer, and let's say bosun? How do you close that divide to create a seamless flow of leadership?
So obviously being bosun now on three different vessels, it's I think now I can say that there needs to be a very clear, you know, who's, because sometimes it can be a bit blurred, like who's responsible for what. And it is very important that, you know, like this is your responsibility and this is your job. Because I've had two bosun roles that had, you know, very different, had different responsibilities. Like there was like one boat that was completely responsible for all the ordering and like getting the quotes and all of this. But then the next boat I joined, the chief officer was responsible for this. Then it was, you know, a cruise schedule for time, like time schedules with shifts. That I was not responsible for this on the chief officer took this on one boat, but then the next boat I was responsible. So it's just to give a perspective on, like, you know, just like know where you stand with each other is a very important thing. Like, you know, just be like, because you don't want to get into a situation and then you as a team, as leadership, you've failed to communicate and be very clear with each other where you stand with who's responsible for what and who's going to be performing what task, because then obviously you have a team of 9 deck crew that are looking at you for leadership and guidance And then you and your counterparts with the chief officer and captain are looking at each other like, oh, you know, and then you don't want to, you want to avoid those situations completely, because then it's like, you know, obviously as a bosun, you're like, oh, well, I should have maybe brought this up, or I should have pushed hard, pushed for answers more before, and things like this. Yeah.
Okay. So I know that you value growth and development. So I know that you've done an advanced leadership course. Another driver of motivation, which is connected to learning and development, is asking for feedback. Can you tell me about your personal experience in relation to asking for feedback from your superiors, and something that you have observed yourself from leaders at the top who have asked for feedback? Because it's very rare to hear someone from the top ask someone else who is more junior than themselves for feedback.
Yeah, I think feedback is like, it's again, it's a form of communication that you know exactly where you stand with someone. And it's so important to get that feedback from someone, because I mean, I do, after having done your course, I've always tried to keep myself accountable. I've got a little list, that little cheat sheet that I have, that I try hold myself accountable for my leadership and my role. You know, it's very easy to just get caught up in the job and just try to execute the job and satisfy the captain and owner, where that's not really what's, you know, it's not really the high performance. That's what I believe. I use the word high performance as in, like, you know, you need to hold yourself accountable, because if you're going to extract the best performance out of your team, both short term and long term, you need to communicate and have, know where you stand with your team. It's important that you have, take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, hour, whatever, how much time it allows you, just have a sit down with each team member. And I've often asked, you know, maybe there's something I'm very confident, I think I'm very good at, but their crew might have, their crew that work in the team might have a different opinion, saying, well, yes, we're doing well, but actually maybe we can do this 2 minutes faster. We can, or maybe we can make a change here to make something a little bit simpler for us when you do the preparation of that task. Small things. So it's important that you get feedback on the role, on the jobs, that tasks that need to be done. Feedback on yourself, like your reactions to certain situations. Maybe you like have a reaction to pressure and then you don't realize it, but in the moment you can be quite short or not very like can't be very, like, how do you say, receptive and kind in those moments. So yeah, I would say feedback's extremely important. And with, funny enough, I said it to you the other day, that's, you know, I've been asked for to give feedback on a chief officer that I worked underneath. And, you know, in those moments, it's like, it's quite, I grew a lot of respect for that person in that moment, because he's obviously looking for some form of self-improvement. He's looking to be better himself as a leader. And it's so funny, because he's actually probably one of the strongest chief officers I've worked for. And I look at him and I see a leader, someone that's, he trusts me in my job. He believes in me. He communicates. And we check in with each other. And here he is, he's asking for feedback to see if he can improve and stuff. And I was a bit taken back. And, you know, it's, in those moments, you think to yourself, oh, actually don't have anything for you, because actually I think everything's good. But then there's also been lots of people that I've struggled with before, and I don't think they would be very open to feedback. And yeah.
And that's where, unfortunately, you stay small if you don't ask for that feedback.
Exactly. Yeah.
Keegan, if we can get into mental health and how toxic leadership can impact that, can you share a bit about your personal experience of poor leadership and how it knocked your confidence?
Yeah. So I obviously spoke to you about it not too long ago, but it was I worked on a boat where it was extremely high pressure. I mean, I did struggle with my relationship with some of the bridge team. It was highly critical. It was criticized, my role, which is not the issue, but it was, you know, there was a lot of times where it was criticized or this and that, where issues were pointed out. And because of my background with sports, it's always important to reflect and look at situations where you need to question yourself of, you know, what could I do better? Or how, in that situation, what could I have done that I could have avoided the outcome or improved the outcome? And, you know, 90% of the time, the answer was I actually did my best in that situation. And yeah, like I had a very hard, difficult relationship with my chief officers and captains. And it was an environment I personally believe was quite dictated by one person. And then it was like a form of leadership of intimidation. And some of the things we'd sit down and sometimes in like a, you know, a leadership meeting and stuff, and some of the angles just didn't really align with my moral compass.
Yeah.
And yeah, I worked on that boat for 2.5 years in that role. And I didn't realize it, but it was, you know, it was like almost like you feel like you're disappointing these people a lot in that moment. And when I left there, I realized when I joined my new boat in a bosun role, I realized I was a little bit, my confidence in my role and my position was a bit broken. I was overcompensating for over communicating. I was doing things too much. I was, you know, like making decisions was like, because it's important. Like there's a lot of moments where you have to make decisions that are quite, that could lead to certain outcomes. And yeah, I was communicating too much with the interior. I was like over communicating with the bridge. I was almost too respectful with certain things, scared to make decisions. And I was really lucky when I joined that second boat. I had amazing chief officers and captains who really sat me down and they were like, you're amazing at your job. Just take a moment to just, you know, relax. They're like, you're performing above and beyond what we need and expect. So yeah, that really made me reflect on my time before, where I felt like, where it was the complete opposite. I felt like I was, you know, they were always pushing me for, you know, that's 110 or 120%, which is fine. I think it's healthy to feel pushed and encouraged, but it was it was detrimental to me. I felt just, I didn't feel like I was improving. I didn't feel like I was appreciated. There was a lot of things I did well, extremely well at in that position. I just don't feel I was recognized at all. And yeah, it affected me quite hard. Like it's a thing with mental health. It's sometimes not something you can recognize in yourself.
Yeah. So maybe your sister or your colleagues notice within yourself that you weren't picking up on?
Yeah. So exactly. When I joined my next boat, it was only in my next boat, I think I really realized, I was like, wow, okay, I'm a little bit of damage. I needed to like take a moment to appreciate myself, because I had this new boat who was saying I'm almost being too much, and like they said, like, we appreciate you, you're amazing, like you're doing perfectly well on the job. This is the feedback I got after 2 months of being there, and they just said, like, yeah, just, you can turn it down a notch because you're perfectly fine. They could see that, I think from their perspective, they could see that I was from a boat that was highly critical, almost goes a bit too far with, you know, pushing people to get the maximum out of them. And yeah.
So what would you have appreciated from those leaders that had a detrimental impact on yourself?
Look, I think there was almost like a working culture on board that was quite ingrained inside of them. And just they had a very strong opinion. It was almost like they were trying to be like open to other cultures, other mindsets, other thinking, but it was so ingrained in them that they were all had worked together for so long that it's so ingrained in their work culture that their leadership was one way or the highway. And I would have appreciated, you know, more open conversations, like when if there is something that they're not feeling like they're seeing from me, you know, I think it's really important to just like I said, take those 10 minutes, 5 minutes together, sit down, have that conversation, just saying, you know, just like a little bit of heads up, just being like, I'm asking you to do this. Like, can we please make sure that we executing what I'm asking? And if not, if I'm not seeing that, like, I need to know why. Just have, you know, open conversations and constantly check in with each other, like on a almost feel like a very approachable, friendly conversation, but it is professional. And yeah, I just didn't have that with them. It was more go a couple of bus trips and then all of a sudden it's like slam. It's like a buildup of a whole bunch of things and topics that need to be covered. And then it's just like, oh, wow. Okay. I thought I was doing absolutely great. Wow. Like, we had happy guests. We had everything on my perspective was perfect. And then it's just like, boom, huge criticism, but no appreciation or recognition for the good stuff.
And the criticism, so, it sounded like it wasn't constructive. And that's the difference.
Yeah, exactly. It was just straight up like, heavy criticism.
Okay. So, and I know there are crew members out there who are bearing the brunt of poor leadership, what would be your advice to them? How should they manage it? Is it jumping ship? Did you feel that perhaps you stayed there longer than you should? What are the warning signs? When is the right time, in your opinion, and everyone's opinion is going to be different, to leave? Mm-hmm. And is there something you can do before making that decision to leave? Is it having a conversation with your superiors to better understand their leadership style, their perspective, their values, so that you can make a more calculated rather than an emotional decision to leave?
Yeah, it's obviously a very tricky one. It's so easy to just say how to deal with it because it all depends on the personality that you're dealing with and the dynamics around that working relationship. But I mean, yeah, jumping ship, I don't know about this. I think obviously I went through a really hard working relationship where I value my relationship with my chief officers and captains. I would say all I can say is any experience is a good experience. It's just, it might be really hard at the time, but I gained so much knowledge of like how I want deck crew to feel led by me because I had a bad experience with someone. I don't want them to feel that way, how I felt with when I was led by certain people. So any experience is a good experience. Obviously, don't let it be detrimental to you. I think the most important thing is if you are truly, truly struggling, just go through the motions. Don't be intimidated. Have open conversations. Just say, you know, like try find a gap. Just being like, and also when you approach a situation, don't try be as diplomatic about it as possible. Don't play victim. I think a lot of people
it's a good one.
As much as you're struggling with something, but when you're struggling with something and trying to go to someone that you're struggling with, immediately you need to be conscious of, like, that you mustn't sound like you're a victim in the situation. Try to think, because at the end of the day, the two of you are meant to be a team. The outcome that you're looking for is to be, you know, a team and producing good work. So don't make it a personality thing, because it's often become, if you play the victim, then the person that you're approaching almost feels attacked, almost. And you're only going to get one reaction if someone feels like they're being attacked. So just try approach it being like, listen, I feel for the best of the boat. Like, this is just not working for the boat. And try include maybe a higher person in the situation too, if need be. But yeah, I think just to communicate well with each other, try find a good platform for you guys to have good conversations and communicate with each other.
I love that, Keegan. Last question. What would your advice be to leaders?
A very important one is respect. It doesn't matter who you are. Respect is the foundation of a working relationship. Communication. And just always have an ear for someone. If someone wants to be heard, listen. It's really important to listen, because, yeah, it's the only way as a team you're going to be able to grow and work together. So if people feel heard, they feel like they're appreciated, they feel like they're adding value to a team.
Absolutely. You've nailed it. Well done, Keegan. What a pleasure to have you here. Wishing you all the very best as a leader in your career.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that.
If your brand belongs in the heart of the yachting world, this is where it happens. Yachting International Radio reaches over 1 million yachting professionals and enthusiasts every month, with 77 million impressions, 220,000 social followers, and 74,000 podcast subscribers. Our hosts are insiders, crew, captains, CEOs, trusted voices shaping the industry. This is targeted, high-impact advertising in a luxury niche. Visit yachtinginternationalradio.com/advertise. Your audience is already listening.